Thank you, and thank you to Corin and the organisers for inviting me. I've got a statement which I can give out afterwards to anyone who wants, and I'll just paraphrase from that and come back in the discussion to some of Corin's questions. I just want to touch briefly on the relationship between the legal issues and the current issues in the press over the past week on the existence or not of weapons of mass destruction to try to identify clearly what the relationship is as part of the discussion. The Prime Minister justified the use of force against Iraq essentially on the basis of two factors. Firstly, that the Security Council had authorized the use of force, which is the legal point, and the second is the factual point, namely that Iraq continued to possess, as of March, weapons of mass destruction. The points are distinct, but they are related. On the legal point, my view is, as expressed by Burns and Christine and in our letter to The Guardian, the only issue is, did the Security Council authorize the use of force or not? In my view, it is clear that it did not. The government disagrees. Whether or not weapons of mass destruction are now found cannot in any way cure that illegality, although it may provide political or other justifications. The failure to find weapons of mass destruction is, however, relevant to the government's claim of legality, because it goes to the question of the reasonableness of its determination, of the Prime Minister's determination, that Iraq was in material breach of various Security Council resolutions. If the government, the Prime Minister, had no proper basis to conclude that weapons of mass destruction existed, then on its own arguments, its claim to legality collapses entirely. The issue of legality, as we've heard, turns on the interpretation of a series of resolutions. The Attorney General has published an authoritative statement explaining his advice that the authority to use force against Iraq arises from these various resolutions, 678, 687, 1441. His advice is the only plausible basis on which any claim to legality could be made, but it is extremely weak. In my view, it is wrong and has persuaded almost no independent observers. It is not based on a good faith reading of the Security Council resolutions. It invites us to ignore their context, their object and purpose, their negotiating history, and the understanding on the basis of which almost all other members of the Security Council supported 1441. But the issue of weapons of mass destruction, even though it can't cure the legality issue, is important because it goes to the reasonableness of the claims made by the Prime Minister. He wrote, as we know, on the 24th of September 2002, that Saddam Hussein's military planning allows for some of the weapons of mass destruction to be ready within 45 minutes of an order to use them. That was a very specific and a very precise allegation, and it was a chilling one for many people. It assumed three things. Firstly, that biological, chemical, or nuclear materials were available. Secondly, that a delivery system existed. And thirdly, that he had information supporting the view that such weapons could be used in a very short period of time, within 45 minutes. The Prime Minister's view that the use of force was lawful was premised on the existence of weapons of mass destruction. If there were no weapons, or if he had no reasonable basis for concluding that there were weapons, then his government's claim to legality falls away. We therefore are entitled to be informed as to the full basis upon which he formed the view that such weapons could be used within 45 minutes. I think there are five pertinent questions. One, what was the evidence supporting the statement that military planning allows for some of the weapons of mass destruction to be ready within 45 minutes of an order to use them? Two, if the evidence included information provided by an Iraqi individual, as has been reported in the press this week, who was that person or what was his background? On what date did he provide the information and to which period in time was he referring? Three, did the individual provide any documentary or other material to support his or her information? Four, was there any other evidence to corroborate the claim upon which this individual relied? And five, if the claim was uncorroborated, on what basis did the Prime Minister feel able to make so specific and unambiguous an assertion as he did? My position to conclude is as it was on the 6th of March, the United Kingdom acted illegally in using force. And I have to say I'm reinforced in that view by the positions adopted by reasonable states, for example, Switzerland, which is reported to have determined that since no Security Council resolution had authorised the use of force, it was entitled to maintain its neutrality throughout the conflict.
Okay, thanks very much, Philippe Sands.